the Mark of the Corsair, fantastic bloke. He had that snake as a tattoo in every regeneration. Didn't feel like himself unless he had the tattoo, or herself a couple of times. Ooh, she was a bad girl.
And so are we.
Welcome, listeners, to the Corsair's Closet.
It may not be a snake tattoo, but we have everything you need to make you feel more like yourself.
From how to knit a scarf,
to how to craft a TARDIS envelope out of a beaded necklace,
to how to build a TARDIS console,
to how to build a slightly more practical TARDIS bookcase,
to whatever your little heart's desire.
I'm the madwoman with a box, and she's the time siren.
Hello.
And this is the pilot episode, so major excitement. Oh my god!
Woo! Squee! Well, madwoman, how shall I address you?
You could address me as madwoman, or hey you, or just plain you.
Hey Fred!
No, I don't answer to Fred.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, okay. I'm more commonly known as Mad Woman with a Box online.
Let's just call you Mad.
There you go.
That fits. That fits. I've heard rumors.
MW, you know, if you're feeling Southern. MW,
there you go. Okay, well, I'm Southern California, but I'm originally from Northern California. And Liz, where are you from?
I'm actually native here, born in Tarzana. I really, like, I never left the valley. It's kind of scary. Valley girl, she's a valley girl. Southern California native, specifically.
Oh, so you're used to this wretched heat we're going through right now.
I don't think you ever get used to it.
You sure don't when you come from San Francisco area, let me tell you.
Yeah, I can imagine how that would be harder for you.
Oh, I suffered. The first 2 weeks we were here was in the middle of triple digits and a third stage smog alert, and I thought I was going to die. But nonsense like that aside, we want to tell you wonderful listeners about our mission and our purpose and how you can totally help us, because this podcast is not only for you, it's going to be by you. We are going to get all of our content from all of our listeners.
Because this is, at its core, a crafting podcast. So what better way to do a crafting podcast by making it a group effort? We're not just doing this on our own. We are all constructing this thing together as a team, us and you.
There is so much incredible stuff out there, MW, that I've seen at conventions. Past Galley 2012, what did you see that just made you go, oh my god, that's fantastic?
It might be a shorter list of what I didn't see. I mean, cosplay alone, I can't even go there, because some of the costumes I saw were so inventive and so brilliantly executed that I was left feeling totally inadequate and, you know, yearning to kneel at their feet and go, teach me your ways.
Oh my god. Did you see the guy who was doing the doctor from Curse of Fatal Death?
Not the doctor from the Curse of the Fatal Death, but the master.
The master? Oh
yes.
My god, yes, him and his Dalek bumps.
Yes.
Did you see the woman with him with the even bigger bumps? Loved her outfit, and it totally matched his. And he had the look, he had that sneer that was so perfect.
He nailed it dead on. I think that one of the best costumes that I saw was the costume that was, in fact, a prop. And that was Lady Cassandra. Somebody put together a full-scale Lady Cassandra with the skin stretched over the frame.
Oh my god, I saw
and
that.
And her two misters. I mean, they were the ones in costume. Lady Cassandra was the prop.
I walked in on that Sunday morning, and it was up against a couple of the rooms that were closed off, and they were just standing there, and there were like a million people taking pictures. I walked by that going, oh my god, where were these guys last night?
Yeah. And let's not even get started on the giant adipose that was there Sunday, I believe.
Oh my god, that was so fantastic.
Oh,
yeah. And the year before was absolutely epically spectacular. Were you there for that, for 2011?
2011 was technically my very first galley, but I was only there on Saturday. That was it.
Did you see the Tiki Dalek?
That was actually this year.
No, it was last year.
Last year?
Last year was 20... Well, no, okay, wait a minute. This is 2012, right? Yeah, 2011 was the Isles of Mystery and the guest... of Honor was Peter Davison.
Yes.
They had the tiki theme, and the tiki Dalek was, like, the epitome of that. It was...
Okay, I think I know what you mean, but there was a tiki Dalek this year as well.
Okay, I think that was his second appearance. Because I have...
Maybe.
Yeah, because I have the pictures from the prior year, and...
Okay, it might be they were two different Daleks. Listeners, let us know. If you were a galley, if you know what the hell we're talking about, then please let us know. Chime in. Get in on this discussion.
Yeah, email us at time_siren@christinecherry.com, and that's spelled KristineCherry.com. And, yeah, I know it's long. We're going to be getting Time Siren Domain soon, or Corsair's Closet, or whatever we end up calling ourselves, because we kind of like that name, but it may change in the future, but who knows.
And, of course, in the interim, you can also reach us both on Twitter. I, obviously, am at MadWomanWABox on Twitter.
And I am Time Siren. You can always find us lurking on the Galley1 hashtag. That's Galley with the number 1. And they had to start doing that because our Galley hashtag was getting populated by a lot of other weird peoples and entities that had nothing to do with Gallifrey 1. So
yes,
we moved the whole kit and caboodle to Galley 1.
It was very, very confusing for some people.
Yeah, I think people are still trying to get used to it. But that Tiki Dalek, oh my God, there was a conga line in the lobby on Sunday. I think this is why I remember that it was, like, not this year, but the year before.
Yeah.
Amazing. Oh, just God. A conga line behind a Tiki Dalek is, like, epic!
I know. And then, of course, there was the Tiki Dalek's battle cry, intoxicate! Intoxicate!
Yeah. the Tiki Dalek must have won something at the convention because my husband dressed up as Monty Python Gumby. He had pictures taken with the Tiki Dalek, and the Tiki Dalek already had a blue ribbon award on him.
The masquerade, maybe?
Yeah. And for anybody that is interested, that was created, and I believe it was also run by Kevin Roach. And his last name is Roche. He's a master costumer out on the East Coast. Fantastic stuff comes out of that guy's demented brain.
Ooh. Can we be him when we grow up?
Yeah. Because originally, when they originally announced the Isles of Mystery theme, I thought, what the hell are we going to do with this? This is impossible. Well, it's not impossible if you're creative enough. And so much of our creativity comes from inspiration. There was an amazing thing that I wanted to mention really briefly that happened yesterday on Twitter. And I went to the Lost Was meeting and I was gushing about it. People are turning their head going, what the heck are you talking about? Well, Twitter is stream of consciousness, real-time conversations, like you know, MW. And you came in on the middle of a crazy conversation that was going so fast that there were like 9 replies while I was still working on answering like 3 before that. And the gals that did, the one gal, you remember the one that did the 50s style TARDIS?
Yes, I have been actually following her on Twitter for a little while now.
Yeah, she's talking about a cosplay gathering of TARDISes at Galley for the 50th anniversary next year, 2013. So we were talking to her, and I was telling him about my cloth doll project and how I've got this amazing local woman who has been doing cloth dolls all her life. She's in her 60s, and she's going to be mentoring me in making some doctor dolls. And this woman already ordered a 9th doctor for me before I even got to my first mentoring lesson. I mean, how awesome is that?
You're selling dolls that you don't even know how to make yet. You freaking rule.
I don't know how it happened. It was just the insanity of the Galley hashtag. I tell you, the party and the convention goes on year-round. There's you know, Kat Isidore, she is counting down every day until the convention. Every single day she goes, 362 days till Galley, 361 days to Galley. I mean, I never even have to remember her. I just go on the tag and she's like my calendar.
I see those tweets too. I have a guy that I work with at my real life job. Ugh. And he's always coming into my office every day and he's like, you know, hey Elizabeth, how you doing today? Only 274 more days until Christmas. And he counts down to Christmas and New Year's. We have a Kat Isidore on the Galley hashtag to count it down for us. And she reminds me of that guy every day.
Yeah.
You know, checking in how many days.
Yeah, and there's a new one, actually. I don't know if you've seen it. It's the countdown to the next season.
No, I have not.
Yeah, that one started. And that's not even on a date that's been confirmed in stone yet. That's based on, there's the premiere of the first episode at this this get-together in England where they show the new seasons and the new shows. And then, I guess they kind of figure it from prior years. Okay, when that happens, you know, 1 or 2 weeks later, the show starts up. So everyone is so pumped up about the next season of Doctor Who, they're assuming that it's going to start then. I don't think BBC has actually even officially said, you know, when it's going to be.
Probably not, but yeah. We're fans. What do we care about dates?
Yeah. What do we care about staying on topic either? We both kind of suffer from shiny-itis. So if
we're
you
magpies.
Don't know, yeah, if you don't know what that is, I'll let MW explain that.
We are magpies, so we are often distracted just by bright, shiny things that come across our path. We're very focused. We're working on something, and then, ooh, over there, something really shiny. And before you know it, we've completely lost the thread. So we both kind of suffer from that a little bit. I probably suffer from it more than anybody else on the planet. And I rely on the, you know, indomitable time siren to keep me on course. And now I'm going to shut up because I'm doing it again.
Yeah, it's not easy sometimes. You know, your TARDIS can get really off course sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Especially if there's solar flares and what have you.
Yeah, yeah. So, so anyway, besides the incredible cosplaying that goes on, there's a phenomenon that we'll focus on here and there because there's so many of them. The phenomenon of the femme cosplayer or femme player or crossplayer, whatever you want to call it, a femme doctor, and that's amazing.
Any geeky chick who wants to look like someone badass from something badass.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not just confined to Doctor Who. They do it in Sherlock, you know, they'll do a femlock version, and I'm sure they do it in, like, a million other comic books. I'm sure San Diego Comic-Con is flooded with them every year.
I've seen on Tumblr a lot. You can also find me on Tumblr at the same name as my Twitter.
Because she's a Tumblr whore.
Yes, I am. Thank you for noticing. I hope you're having a lovely day. I am. I'm a tumble whore. Because I am a bit of a Marvelite because of the movies. If you haven't seen The Avengers, go freaking see it. I ship a lot of science bros and science boyfriends, Tony Stark and Bruce Banner. And I've seen some really amazing Tony and Bruce crossplays where they're actually dressing as the male counterparts of these characters.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, doing up the beards and the arc reactors and all that stuff. And, you know, which is completely awesome. But I like the notion of putting a female spin on it, adding a feminine touch. Like, you know, the femlock phenomenon and the Sherlock fandom. There's a lot of amazing people out there who enjoy the gender bending aspect of it, making Sherlock female, and with the beauty of Sherlock's name, you don't even have to change it. It's just still Sherlock.
Yeah.
And with, you know, Joan Watson or Jane Watson, depending on what fanish headcanon you follow. In fact, I'm going to be cosplaying at next year's galley as Femlock. You know, I'm going to do a female Sherlock Holmes. I'm not cosplaying. I'm not doing the male version. I'm going to be wearing a skirt. I'm going to be wearing jewelry. I'm going to do my interpretation of Sherlock Holmes as if Sherlock were a woman.
Okay, so that's the difference then between the cosplaying and the femme version?
Correct me if I'm wrong. I am not an experienced cosplayer. I'm not an experienced costumer. This is my first time. So, you know, listeners, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe crossplay is when you are playing as the opposite gender. If you're a woman, you're playing Tony Stark. You're not playing Tonya Stark. You're playing Tony Stark as a man.
Okay.
And if you are...
So you try to copy the costume as much as possible to what it originally was. You don't try to feminize it then.
Exactly.
Ah, I see.
Yeah. Or I could be getting the term wrong. If you're playing the character straight across the board, then I would be dressing, if I were doing Tony Stark, I would be dressing as Tony Stark the man. Cross-playing, you're gender-bending the character.
Okay.
So I am going to gender-bend Sherlock as a woman.
Okay.
And so, I'm already putting the costume together. I'm just about done with the scarf I'll be wearing because I've run into problems with that because I'm sure that anybody who has tried to find the scarf will be able to tell you it's expensive as hell.
Wow.
And,
Well, you knit. You're a knitting maniac.
I do. Of the two of us, I am pretty much the yarn hoe. And, you know, I like to mess with patterns. I crochet, I knit. I knit better than I crochet, but I'm working on it. You know, I love to mess around with that stuff. And so what I've done is I have knit a scarf for my Sherlock cosplay. Mm-hmm. And I've done a cable knit scarf. Mm-hmm. And I'm basically going to be wearing it on the premise that Joan Watson, who favors lots of cable knit jumpers, made it for me. Oh. Aww.
So then I want to ask you something, because I'm sure a lot of people have this question. When we're looking for source material for our characters, where do you go? Where did you go to find out that, oh, that's a cable knit? Did you just spot that on TV? Did you have photos? Did you see it on pictures on the internet? Where did you get that reference material?
It came with knowledge. I am a Sherlockian, proudly so. If you watch the show, you notice the things that the characters are wearing. In my case, you know, Sherlock has his trademark scarf, and John has the jumpers. And being that I am a knitter, I recognize cable knit when I see it.
Ah.
Now, there's all different kinds of cable knit. I think, you know, there's Fair Isle and this and that and the other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not intimately familiar with cable knitting. I've only kind of recently acquired the skill, like, within the last year.
Uh-huh.
I do what I like to call kamikaze cable knitting, because when I started learning how to do it, I didn't have a cable knit needle, and I was really impatient.
Oh.
So I figured out how to do it without a cable needle, meaning that I could lose a stitch at any time.
Okay, what's cable needle?
Cable needle, it's basically a small needle, which, if you're lucky, will have, like, a hook on it, so that your stitches will stay on it, because it's open at both ends to allow you to knit on and knit off.
Okay.
In other words, if you're familiar with double-pointed knitting needles for socks and what have you,
mm-hmm.
It's the same kind of thing, but there's usually a dip in the middle to keep your stitches from slipping off.
Oh, okay.
You cast your stitches onto it, in other words, you just slip them on,
uh-huh.
and then you twist the work, and then just knit accordingly.
Okay.
And I do that freehand. I don't use a separate needle. I just let my stitches fall off the needle, twist them, slide them back on, hope I didn't screw something up, and then go back to work.
Okay, well, I've seen your work. It looks really good. I don't think you've lost anything there.
Oh,
I think all your stitches are intact here.
More or less. I've had to frog quite a bit, but that's usually when I'm knitting at the movies, which is not a good idea if you're kamikaze cable knitting. Stick with your fourth Doctor scarves if you're knitting in the movie theater, because you don't have to think about what you're doing unless you're, you know, I probably shouldn't censor myself, huh? We're going to have an adult audience. Fuck it.
Yeah, we're pretty potty mouthed here.
Yeah, so no more censoring myself. That just, you know, there is nothing wrong with your iPod. So, you know, you can't fuck it up unless you're changing colors or what have you, you know.
Uh-huh.
Stick with the fourth Doctor scarves when you're going through the movies, boys and girls.
Yeah. Okay, well, I wanted to tell people about a good source for screen captures, actually, that I found, and that's the LiveJournal community. If you're part of that, it's LIVJOURNAL.com. You can, once you go in there, you can do a search, and, you know, you could look for Doctor Who screen caps, something like that, and it's amazing, MW, they zip up these enormous files of these screen captures, and they're not so bad when they're zipped up, but they take up a little bit of hard drive space now. I've got them for the Matt Smith era. I'm actually looking for ones from the David Tennant era, some reference. But they're really good. They take them at like every, you know, couple of seconds.
Yeah, long have I frequented the LiveJournal community for that stuff, because I mess about in Photoshop too. But they do take up a lot of space and whatnot. So whenever I can obtain screen captures from a website, I will.
Mm-hmm. There's a few that do it. Yeah,
there's a lot of great fan sites online. I tend to, my go-to source, or where I start, if I'm looking for, you know, I want screen captures of Joe Schmo, I will go to fan-sites.org, I believe is the address.
Okay.
And it's like a collective for really good quality fan sites.
Oh, cool.
And I will go there, and I will troll around until I find what I want. And if I don't find it there, I will go elsewhere to the interwebs.
Uh-huh.
So.
Oh, yeah, that's something I wanted to mention, too. Any websites that we reference, any source material is going to be in our show notes. And it'll be on our Time Siren website, which is a blog that I started. It's www.christinecherry.com/blog, B-L-O-G. And like I said, we are going to be getting, you know, a saner domain soon, hopefully, when I'm not so broke. But it's just going to be, just from the nature of what we're talking about, it's going to be very intensive with going to a website and checking out all sorts of sources. Okay.
Chopper, we need a helicopter.
There's a chopper coming overhead here, so, oh, he's landing, of course.
Taking a plane break!
We didn't have a landing in a week, and now, just as we're recording
this. Yeah, I'm gonna rip off Comedy Bang Bang here.
Taking a plane break!
That way you don't have to listen to it.
Thank you, LAPD. We love you, too. actually, it's very safe to live near a police station.
Oh, you betcha. I used to live in this neighborhood, so...
Yeah, but
it was good to have that. That was very special.
Yeah. So, but anyway, check show notes. Whenever Liz references her Tumblr website, we'll put up the link to her site, and or maybe if it's not too many links, the actual links and or the pictures at the Time Siren Diaries. So, feel free to check there. It's going to be fairly necessary if you want to get really hands on with any of these projects. Okay, so Liz, we know where you're coming from with this. Let me tell people what I've been up to. I've been in fandom. Oh my god, ever since original Star Trek. Probably. Ooh. Yeah, I know I'm dating myself. I don't care my age.
You're old school and awesome. Teach us your ways, yeah. Wise one.
I made my first costume when I was about 8 years old, and we had a black and white TV for Star Trek. So, I don't know if you remember the episode Who Mourns for Adonais? It was the one with Apollo.
Yes, I do. The god Apollo. Oh, my God.
Carolyn Palamas' costume was to die for. Even in black and white, it looked gorgeous. Well, since we had a black and white TV, I made it in gold. Well, imagine my disgust and disappointment when we got a color TV and it was pink instead. But it didn't stop me from trying to make the original costume. But being 8 years old, you don't have a lot of... shall we say, boobage to hold it up. So it wasn't very successful. But ever since then, I have been going on. Normally, I'm a jewelry designer, and I make... I'm into a kick in the last couple of years where I've been making parasols by hand. I've been sewing on the lace, the frills, the flowers, covering the covers with pretty iridescent fabrics and hanging old-fashioned fringe off of them so they look like something a flapper would carry. It's really neat stuff. I think one of the most infamous things I've ever sold was at the Northern California Convention BayCon, which we went to for 20 years. And in the art show, well, I dabbled in making Barbie clothing.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, I'm going to the bad place, folks. If you have kids in the room that love their Barbies, you better hustle them out right now. Because let your imaginations take flight. What I put into the show and what made it best, and it won best 3D in show, and it went to auction and sold for $60, was something titled Mistress Barbie and Hurt Me Ken.
Best Barbies ever.
Yeah, they're pretty evil. My pictures of them are so old, they predate the internet, so they would...
And by evil, you mean fantabulous.
Yes, yes.
Evil.
Yes. Amazeballs. I love your saying amazeballs.
It's amazeballs.
Recently, that actually was like my biggest thing I think I've ever sold or for the most money at a convention, until this last auction, which totally amazed me. Now, I had, before I liked Doctor Who, and I had seen it, little episodes here and there, I saw ones of the Fourth Doctor. They kept repeating robot from the Tom Baker era, and I was sick of it, and I didn't like it, and he was weird and freaky looking, and teeth and curls and wacko, and I didn't like him. But when I started to get into fandom where I was running around with a lot of other Whovians, I noticed all these scarves, and I thought, oh, I don't know how to knit, that just looks like it'd take forever, these colors are awful, I will never do that. Well, to this day it's true, I've never knitted a scarf, but I was inspired because in Gallifrey 2011, I don't know if you heard about the wonderful moment that Peter Davison had after the convention on Monday morning that got it got photographed by some minions of Tara Wheeler's, and it got put on Twitter, and that's how I caught it, and it was Peter Davison unraveling one of Tara's scarves in the lobby. And she had specifically made this last season scarf, the last one of Tom Baker's era, which got passed on to Peter Davison.
For him to unravel a la Castrovalva.
Uh-huh. And she is hanging on to that sucker, and Peter's like, I can't find the end, and he breaks it with his teeth. He gets a one in hand, and he steps back, he starts unraveling that sucker, and people are squealing with laughter. I heard there was a mad rush in the lobby to race over there once people realized what the hell he was doing.
Oh, good lord.
And then, bless him, he is like the most awesome person in the world. Then he pauses for a moment, and he goes, I'm just going to find a motocar, and he walks off in search of a car to tie the end to.
Oh, good God.
God, is there any wonder I love this man.
That's brilliant.
So, anyway, I was looking at the colors for that scarf. That one has the more, it has a plum color in it, it has a rust color, it has kind of a brickish red, and I really love those colors together, so I thought, well, my skills do not lie in knitting, so I beaded one, in a peyote stitch, and I'd never done peyote stitch before, so I kind of practiced a little bit, but it was like, oh, okay, this is working out pretty good. So I peyote stitched this sucker, all a pattern I found online, and I hadn't finished it by the art show in 2012. I was in the car, where there was a huge traffic jam. It took us an hour to get to LAX from the San Fernando Valley, because traffic was horrible, but that was great, because I was sitting there beating frantically. I had beaded 10 hours straight the night or the day before, only one bathroom break, stuffing food in my face as I'm beading. Still didn't get the sucker done, but I put tassels on it in a rush on one end. So I put it on its 3D display, and I'm like, oh, I made it in time. That's great. I don't expect it to sell because I put a $200 price tag on it. That's okay with me. I walk away. Well, Sunday I go to pick it back up, and the sucker sold. So
because it was awesome, that's why.
I was blown ass over tea kettles. So I'm almost done with technically my third one, because I did a shorter one that's approximately half the pattern, and I'm trying to jury-rig it as a choker, and I'm doing it. It's just that the pins I have to run through it, because they're so thin, because they have to go through the beads, they're not as strong. So I'm having a very difficult time trying to turn this thing into a choker that looks like it's actually wrapped around the neck and then straight down the front.
Well, it was looking pretty good at Galley. I mean, when I first saw you in the con suite, you were rocking that thing like a mofo.
Yeah, yeah. It's just the attachment to it is very finicky, and I put some chain on it like a real choker. It attaches in the back. I think I'm just going to go with that, because if you're careful and respectful of these things, they will last for a long time and they won't break.
Yeah.
You know, but they're pretty strong because of all the thread that goes through them, and it's a nylon. It's tough stuff. You cannot break it by hand. So it'll hold pretty well, barring any insane person who runs with scissors and bashes into it.
Yeah.
But, so I've been goofing off and on with projects all my life. I'm kind of like a magpie in that. If I think I see something that I could probably do that, I'll mess around with it. Right now I'm into three projects at once, which is kind of insane. One of them, I found a pattern in a Peyote Stitch magazine for an envelope that actually has a little flap that opens. So I want to do that in Tardis blue, and I want to do that as a necklace. And actually, MW, I think you'd wanted to order one of those when I told you the idea.
Oh, yeah, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm
doing it in like 11 beads, and then there are these tiny, tiny, tiny fucking beads called 15s that are even like 2/3 that size. I'm going to try to use those to actually put a physical number on it, like number 1, 2, 3, or 4.
That would be awesome.
A la Impossible Astronaut. And yes. I think it could be done. It's just maybe with the help of the bead pattern I have. Great software out there, guys. Bead Creator Pro. Got a lifetime upgrade with it. Shelled out $100 for it, but wow, is it worth it. You can map out and design your own stuff, print out the pattern, and use that to follow. Awesome-tastic. Now, I did not use it for the lariat necklace, so the scarf, but It could be something that, you know, you want to use to map out projects like this. You may have to learn a new thing in peyote, how to increase and decrease rows. It looks pretty simple because I was reading the instructions. But there's that I'm working on. Of course, this cloth doll project, which I'm hoping to get into Galley's Art Show. And there's something else I'm hoping... I'm experimenting with it right now. I'm not going to tell anybody. You'll have to stay tuned and see the pictures.
Evil!
I know, I love it. Well, we are the Corsair crowd, and she was a
bad
girl.
Gotta love it, man.
Yep.
Yeah, I want to do the art show, man. It's just, I don't know if I could do knit stuff in it, you know?
Hell yeah.
You think?
Sure.
Like, if I knit a fourth Doctor scarf or something awesome?
Well, yeah, you probably could put it in... Okay, well, this is the thing that, from what I understand from Tara Wheeler, or Tara's Tara, is you cannot sell the scarves commercially, or the BBC will come after you like a bear to honey, and you'll be toast.
Yeah.
But she's always knitted them or partaken in knits where they... The people across country that do it, and they'll knit a section, they'll pass it on, they'll knit a section, they'll pass it on, and they get done by Gallifrey, and then they put it in the charity auction.
Yeah.
So you could talk to her maybe about, you know, has she ever put them in the art show, or ask on the hashtag and see, you know, is it something that, you know, you could do? I'm not really familiar with that.
Well, or even just knit stuff in general. It doesn't have to be a fourth Doctor scarf, because
yeah.
I do have kind of a thing. If you were at this past galley, I was on the Crafting Who Part 2 panel, and as I admitted during the convention, I have a serious problem with wanting to put a TARDIS on everything. So
why is that a problem?
Good point. it's like, you know, it's a thing. You know, I have trouble with my TARDIS feels, and you know, like right now I'm having trouble with my Tony Stark feels, and that's why I have Iron Man nails. May put pictures up on the website later, boys and girls. But yeah, I want to put a TARDIS on everything. I have my e-reader case, it has a TARDIS on it.
Yeah.
I want to do a TARDIS bookcase. I'd like to do a TARDIS keychain. I actually have the little TARDIS emergency fund keychain.
Yeah.
You know, a pound note will fit in there, but you have to fold up an American dollar a bunch of times to get it to fit. But
yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I'd love to be able to knit something TARDIS-y and then put it in the art show.
I think I've seen knitted three-dimensional or crocheted three-dimensional TARDISes.
Well,
so,
and I'm
I don't see why not.
I'm even thinking something a little more useful. Or, again, not even a TARDIS. Let the imagination go wild. I still have to finish it. I want to learn to do the amigurumi stuff. I'm mispronouncing the hell out of it, I know. But the little crocheted dolls and toys and stuff. So I've been practicing the necessary stitches, and I did an iPod or iPhone case.
Oh, cool.
And I did it in white with the intention of putting a little adipose face on it.
Oh, that was the one that you had at the panel.
Yeah.
That you were working on.
It was unfinished, and I still need to do the face.
Uh-huh.
But I had to do a little homework online because I was literally just making it up as I went along.
Yeah.
And in single crochet, you can treat it as a cross stitch, which I've never done. So I just need to get some graph paper, put together a little pattern for the eyes and the mouth,
yeah,
and cross stitch that sumbitch on there, and I'm done. And like a little iPhone case, you know, would that be something I could put in the art show is what my question
hell
is.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's your own interpretation. As long as it's an artistic interpretation and you're not mass producing it, it's a limited edition or something like that, that all falls under the Creative Commons license or whatever it is they call it.
And it could go all art showy on it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, you know, they're not going to come after me for doing, you know, one lariat necklace, and there's no way I could mass produce the dumb thing. So I think we're cool with that. But you know what amazed me? You mentioned that Crafting Who panel. Wasn't it the year before it was in a room that was maybe like a third that size?
Yeah, it was in, like, this little dinky room, because I was there for part of the panel, then I had to go run off and do something else.
Something exploded!
Yeah, it was, like, this big old room, and all the people were there, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it's about as big as they put one of the panel rooms without being in the main ballroom. That's
blew me
away.
Yeah, well, it was, like, two rooms opened up into one big old space, and we packed it nicely. I mean, it wasn't SRO, but there were butts in the seats, you know?
There was a lot of people there.
Yeah.
And they were really interested. After the panel, people were swarming up to the front to get those ping pong balls that had
I have a ping pong ball of Rassilon! I have my own, too. Yes.
So
good.
Do I.
You win!
You want to see pictures, they're going to be in the show notes on the website.
Yeah, we'll take pictures of hers, because mine, God knows where it's at right now.
A ping pong ball of Rassilon.
Yes.
Is there
and I have a laser cut TARDIS. It's a transparent one, so it's in mid-bay.
Oh, I saw those. Those are beautiful.
I have a laser cut TARDIS.
Yeah.
La, la, la.
But you could make a TARDIS out of anything. I mean, laser cut, the egg plotter that made the ping pong balls, whatever skill you have, I swear to God, I've seen somebody make a TARDIS out of it.
There is a TARDIS out there for everyone.
Yeah.
Don't stop searching, please.
Yeah. Have you seen those pictures online of the refrigerators where the front is painted like a freaking TARDIS?
No.
Yeah.
I want one.
Okay. You have my permission to have one. I mean, nowadays, it used to be unique that it was your front door that was painted a TARDIS, or you painted your child's room with the front door.
I've seen people with their front doors, like, one side is the TARDIS and the other side is the door to 221B Baker Street.
Oh, you have?
Yes. Thank you, Moffat.
That man.
Yeah.
Competing against himself.
Amazing. When Sherlockians and Whovians come together, you get Hulockians. And those are some unstable motherfuckers.
Wait a minute. If you're one of those, are you unstable?
Maybe.
Ooh.
Twitch. There's nothing wrong with me. Twitch. I did a little Foley work there.
Okay, where's my butterfly net?
No, keep away. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm saying everyone else is crazy and trying to steal my magic bag.
Shiny alert. I'm going to have to rein her back in. Well, again, we just want to say that this is just our background in all crazy things Doctor Who and being creative, brains that explode on a daily basis. I'm sure there's others out there. I mean, we know they're out there and they're absolutely amazing. We want to interview you people. Send us your pictures. Send us your bios. Send us audio files.
I know what we can call this podcast.
Video files. What?
Meet the Corseteers.
Oh, God.
Or the Corsair Tears! The Corsair Tears!
This is going to need some work. Well, stay tuned, and we'll be able to come up with something like that. But again, find us on Twitter at
MadWomanWABox
and Time Siren, or we'll be haunting the galley. And
now, are you at Time Siren or Time _ Siren?
Yeah, I think it's Time _ Siren.
Okay.
Yeah. And the Galley One hashtag, we're always floating around there. I'm also known as the Five in the Five and Dime Fangirls, which is another non-hands-on kind of crafting that we're going to be looking at because my partner and I put out the Who Crack video track for Gallifrey One, which has become, in the last 2 years, a staple of programming. It's an hour of us trolling through the internet and YouTube for the best music videos you have ever seen of Doctor Who. We've pulled up all sorts of stuff. We weed out the garbage. We pick the best stuff. And believe me, my partner has a very critical eye, so nothing schlocky gets past her at all. We dredge up these old commercials. There's some funny stuff out there. Oh my God, Graham Norton is an insane person, and I love him, but when he gets a hold of somebody who's been on Doctor Who, hold on to your hats. It's
and run
insane.
For your lives.
Run for freaking lives. He's fantastic, but we can find some funny stuff out there. So, actually, right now, I'm going to be working on a river track for the upcoming Time Meddlers meeting. It's next week! And I still have to go searching. I've got a few pieces to put on there, but
for those playing the home game, the Time Meddlers is the Southern California Doctor Who fan club and closely affiliated with Gallifrey One. We're Who fans. We're awesome. If you live in SoCal, come check us out. We'd love to have you.
Yep. And it's at the Lospice Clubhouse in Van Nuys.
Yeah.
I don't know the address. You'll have to go onto their website. It's timemeddlers.org. And I think they probably have a Facebook. Yeah, they have a Facebook page, too, if you look up Time Meddlers. Also there. Or get in touch with us, and we'll give you the info. But usually we're too busy, like, creating stuff to tell you about. So your best bet is just to contact them directly. But also, so anyway, my point of the Five and Dime Fangirls is that that's also creative. It isn't just knitting or building a TARDIS console or a TARDIS itself. You know, it's doing the fan videos. It's just anything that stretches the imagination and uses that side of the brain to its full potential.
Yeah, because it's literally kind of like the byline says. I mean, I know we're being all goofy and wacky and having lots of mad fun, but, you know, it's like the Doctor says, the Corsair never felt like himself or herself without the snake tattoo. It's not a snake, but as fans, doing this kind of stuff makes us who we are, and it makes us feel more like ourselves. You know, yep. You're getting out there, and you're cross-playing, and you're kind of like, you know, this is me! Or you're making something out of nothing,
yep.
Or you're piecing together digital clips and sound bites to just make this awesome piece of fantastic crack on YouTube or what have you. Even if you're writing fan fiction or whatever.
Oh boy, we're gonna get into that in a few.
Oh god, yes.
Hello, because we've written some naughty stuff.
Oh yeah, naughty's an understatement.
Yeah, when I'm not beating or making naughty Barbie dolls, I'm writing naughty fanfic.
And however naughty your fanfic is, mine is
like
way worse.
Five times worse. But, and I do wallpaper backgrounds, too, so if you tell me your screen resolution and what your favorite characters are, and I could probably slap something together to get you, and I love requests, so don't feel shy to send me anything you want. I will do it.
And
don't tempt me. Don't dare me.
Yeah, and I bust out the occasional Live Journal icon now and again when I can be, you know, buggered to boot up Photoshop and tackle something. I don't do it as much as I used to. But it's all part of being a fan, being a Whovian, being a Whovlockian, being somebody like us. And if you're listening to this, you are someone like us.
One of us.
Google gobble. Google gobble. One of us.
Oh, God.
But that's one of the reasons I think that the Corsair's Closet is a good name for this podcast, because we have it all here. We will be covering it all.
Yeah.
You know, we're not just bad girls, but we are here to share our experience in doing this and to help you with yours. We're all going to get together here every time we put this podcast out, and we are going to do the things and make the things and put the things out there that make us feel more like who we are.
Yeah, we're going to light the fire under your butt to drag that project out and get it done before Chicago TARDIS. Get it done before the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who next year, and oh my god, it's gonna be so awesome. It's terrible. I'm on staff and I can't say anything.
Wait, you know stuff?
Don't tell.
She won't even tell me, people. This is bad.
I won't even tell my husband.
Oh
well,
my god.
No, actually, he was there, so he knows, but I won't even tell my sister. But she asked me, okay? And I'm like, oh, no, I can't tell you.
Evil, evil, evil woman. You want to talk about it? I'm a saint compared to this woman. Do you hear me? A saint?
No, you're not. It's like you just said. You just admitted your fanfic was way worse.
Yeah, but
you haven't even read my stuff yet. I'm going to make you read something.
But you know things.
Come here. I'm going to make you read something. Sit down here right now. I'm going to make you read something.
Oh, God. Here we go.
The Corsetteers would like to thank and apologize to the following people, organizations, alien races if we have in any way offended you with this podcast. My partner in crime, Liz. My husband, the master, his mistress. Giant Oedipuses, the Dalek Nation, Meddlers in Time, Kevin Roach, the girls of the Twitter, hashtag TARDISPOD, the Tumblr community, the LiveJournal community, Tara Wheeler's Unraveled Scarf, Peter Davison's reputation with the Doctor Who scarf knitting community, Thoughtfish Media, Nancy of the Happiness Patrol. We'd also like to thank and blame Chris, Paul, and Little Pete of the Pharaohs Project podcast for inspiring me to launch this new senseless assault on the ears of Who fans and Whoverts everywhere.